The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and today we're going to be talking about growing your business by attracting and retaining top talent. Now, you're going to recognize that topic because I'm going to say maybe 5 weeks ago, something like that, we did a similar topic, and we had Joyce Joya on the program with us talking about some from the futurist viewpoint what some of the stresses are and the whole idea of too many jobs and too few people. And a number of you have commented about this is their biggest struggle. Excuse me, it's not even just, you know, growth financing. It's not the product. It's not the marketplace. It's, God, how do I find good people? And wanted to have some topics to frame the conversation, but I've invited a guest back, which is such a compliment. I think I've only done that once. And Lynn Katzman of Juniper Communities is going to be back on. And if you recall, she talked with us about their acquisition process. They're in assisted living communities. I mean, they have developed it's almost 20 places now. We'll be more specific when she's on the line with us. But so they're in a really competitive industry, where you've got to watch the cost and you've got to watch everything that you're doing. And that one of the secrets to their success isn't just the acquisition of buildings and how they do the insurance-related work. It's got to be that they can attract and retain top talent because, you know, why would you want to live there? Why would you want to pay the money? And why would she be able to do it 16, 17, 18 times if she hadn't figured that out? So, you know, I've invited her as a guest to talk through, candidly, what it's like on this journey to be finding good people over and over and over again, and then when somebody doesn't work, what do you do, and that type of thing. Let me share some stories that I've seen. One of the things that I've experienced in 34 years in business is you have to discover what your own blind spots are. My blind spot for a long time has been that I'm a sucker for potential. So somebody looks like they're bright and they're capable and they care and they're trying. I'll figure, all right, well, if we can just teach a little bit better, if we can provide a clearer job, if we can get them the right kind of assignments that fit better to them. And so I've spent a lot of time, and I still do if I'm not careful, you know, adjusting around what somebody is going to like, trying to find that sweet spot. Now, that sounds good. Because when you read the literature about, you know, people have to be in the jobs that fit, et cetera, et cetera. But I've found over the years that if I am trying to do that too much and adjusting the company and adjusting the priorities and adjusting the budget to the people, you can end up having gaps in the service. You can end up having Pollyannas. You can end up having spending too much money. You can end up being frustrated yourself because you can never do enough. And I still struggle with that. And I've seen some of my clients deal with that. So there's some roles that over time I've had to have, the psychological testing done of candidates. I've had to have other people come in and make the selection because they'll learn about who I am and what the company's about or what we're doing. And if you've got some blind spots, it's really important to fess up and get some outside assistance. That's the first place I'll start, is just with the candid recognition that, you know, I didn't see that at first, because a lot of times my really believing in people and seeing the potential has been such an attribute. As a growth strategist, it's such an attribute, you know, where I can say, oh, no, don't worry about this. Look at the marketplace. Look at the money. We can do this. And I've helped people make just a ton of money from that same attitude. But it can backfire when you're hiring. If all it for it was about yourself, that's the first place to start. Second thing is I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs in the beginning when they're creating their businesses. It's so much about who they are and what they're trying to do and what they find fun, and you have to look at the reason that they created the business. And how many times is the business created because somebody hated their boss or hated their job or got fired? Or it wasn't because they were creating something and were running towards something. It was they were running away from something else. Or they're trying to do something to somebody else, like say, I'm going to prove I could do this, and you're not going to make me, you know, kind of out of a temper tantrum. Well, as long as that temper tantrum lasts, the hiring gets messed up. That's my opinion. because one of the things that happens is people will hire cheap and loyal, trying to save all the money for themselves or to make sure that nobody else around them is smarter than them. They'll hire relatives because it's maybe the only people that they think they can trust, and sometimes those people don't necessarily have the skills that they need. So there's this phase of almost acting out for a lot of people. And when you realize, you know, that it's not just about you and that it's not just an incorporated career and you're really creating a business and it has to take care of customers even more than it has to take care of you, then your criteria for who you bring in needs to change. So there's a second phase, and you've all lived through this. I mean, this show is directed to people with $20 million companies. You've lived through this journey. So I hope you're laughing at yourself because you did this. And for some people, it takes as much as 7-8 years to have this realization, oh, my gosh, you know, this isn't just about me. And there's that cleaning house phase, which is agonizing for just so many people. You know, you've had somebody who's been the bookkeeper who thought the One Right system of bookkeeping was high-tech. You know, and they've been loyal to you, and they tolerated you when you were acting out and being obnoxious as a startup entrepreneur. How much are you going to value that loyalty over you've got to move on? So there's a phase of redefining the business and saying, what do we need to really be whole? What do we need to go to that next level, let go of some of that acting out, and live through some letting go that is not very pleasant. It's not very pleasant to have somebody who maybe is not ready to grow, is hanging on to the old way, and say, what do we need in the new phase? Now, let's say you've gone through all that, because, like I say, that isn't any fun. Third thing I want to point out, I find people are agonizing about all of the people in their organization almost too much, because if you're at the $20 million level and think about the number of people that you have, depending on the industry you're in, you know, you're talking 50 to 100-plus people at least. Okay, so, you know, who are the key people that are going to make the difference? Yes, I know the guy who is sweeping the floor is very important. I do know that the gal who's bringing in the mail is very important. But if you're the CEO or you're the CFO, that's not your job to hire them. And I have, honest to God, I have seen the top people worry so much about every single person that they get crippled with and not see the dimensions of what they need on their executive team and in the and the top management. And that's really what's critical, is there a culture that's being created in that top group? Is there an attitude? I mean, I like to look for a lot of A's with my clients. Do they have the right attitude is the number one. Do they have the aptitude so that even if they don't have the skill that you're going to be needing in the business that you're in, would they be inclined to learn? Do they have an attitude of welcoming learning? Or are they stubborn and they want to coast on what they already know? Attitude's the number one thing. Are they sarcastic? It's going to set a very bad culture for an organization that's got an edge to it, that's got a hurtful side to it, that's very hard to undo. And trust me, it goes all the way down to the bottom of an organization. You can watch the guy who's sweeping the floor mirror what he sees from somebody at the VP level because it's being sanctioned. That's how it's interpreted, that sarcasm is an okay thing. So I think spending the time on, you know, what makes the person's tick at your top group, you know, like if you're a place like Lynn when she has multiple locations, I would think that the person who runs, you know, the top, whatever the name of it is, executive director or site manager, plant manager, you hear it, those key roles that are over the top, general manager, they set the tone. And that, then the group that they choose matters so much. Second thing I look at besides attitude is an aptitude. Okay, I'm losing my count here. The third thing is, it's going to sound funny, but availability. Now, this is tricky because there's a lot of legal questions you can't be asking about, you know, what's going on in their life, et cetera, but you do need to get a sense of, are they mentally available for the job? How important is the career to them compared to other elements of their life? Is this something that you get a sense that they're job hopping and this is just they're available for now, but they're ready to, you know, step out the door? You're going to invest your heart and soul in people. It's not just money. It's time and all the teamwork building that you've got to do. If somebody is not mentally available, they're really, you know, one foot in the door and one foot out, you're going to have a hard time having it gel as a team. So it's aptitude, it's attitude, and availability. And it isn't just, you know, can they show up at 8:30 when you ask them to show up? It's also, are they actually there when they're there? Are they actually at work or fretting about something else? or trying to prepare for something else that, where they're not even at the work. And that's where you get people that are doing things on the internet too much. That's where you get the personal calls. That's where you get the surprise sick leaves when somebody's not sick, is when they really weren't mentally available for the work. And there's other ones, but, you know, affordable is on some people's lists. But I personally think that if you have a good employee who fits the culture of your company, the attitude's right, they're actually, you know, wanting to be where you are, and they're trying, they're interacting with everybody, people make, you know, a good employee like that makes you money. You know, it makes other people more efficient. They're welcoming, you want to talk to them, they're approachable, there's another A word. Those kind of things make money. Somebody's a cost center if those other A's aren't in place. You follow it? So I've seen some people, they move the affordable number up to the front, and they say, okay, I don't know what my budget is. I don't know if I can afford this person. Well, you know, if their background looks like it's not in your budget, it is a return on investment kind of a profile. I have one client in New York City, and they're having to look for a chief technology officer. And New York City is a prime talent place, and they could go a lot of other places. But the reality is they're going to have to stretch their budget to have this technology officer that truly fits their organization. They'll lose money if they don't have the person that truly fits. By getting penny-wise and pound-foolish, I think it's a difference of something like $15,000 in their case that would set them back big time. Spending more time recruiting and trying to find somebody that's even remotely comparable, and that doesn't make any sense. Last thought I have on this, and then we'll go through some stories related to Lynn. I see an awful lot of executive committees that, and the reason that they're having attract and retain problems with other folks behind them, they get lost in, they think it's, you know, the manager over a department, or they think it's an individual employee not doing enough billable work. They don't look at the behavior of the executive team. And I'm working with, you know, I've been working with some people over the years, and sometimes it's the executive team that can't make a decision, or they're not respectful of each other, or they're so into consensus that they've got it mixed up with everybody's got to agree or we can't do anything. That kind of functioning or dysfunction of a management team really makes people run. And you think if you're a manager behind that and your executives can't get along, they don't make decisions, they're frozen, they're defensive, nobody wants to work there, and it has nothing to do with the work. And so they start looking at their resumes and start thinking about where else they can go if the top is stuck. So I do want you to think about one of the A's is argument. Sometimes it's better to have a really good argument than to sit there stuck. And because it looks like apathy, it looks like you don't care about the business. It looks like you really don't want to make a decision. Okay, after the break, we're going to talk to a successful gal, Lynn Katzman, of Juniper Communities, and she'll talk about how she's attracted and retained top talent. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler. We'll be right back.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldona Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldona played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldona Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
The challenge of change comes as ramped up due to the advent of information age and the interconnectedness of a global community. In a high-tech world, the ability to embrace change, adapt, and respond accordingly is key to personal and professional success. Talking Change with Ann Powers, airing every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, explores the hows, whys, and what to do's when faced with change. Embrace the new reality. Adopt transition into your personal power portfolio and tune into Talking Change with Ann Powers every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and today we have Lynn Katzman. Hey, Lynn.
How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. My forsythia is all confused about the weather, and I'm going to have to keep talking to the plants and say, it's still winter. Go back.
Well, today they're getting a good dose of cold weather, so maybe they'll turn around before it's too late.
I was laughing to him because I knew I was going to be on the radio talking about, you know, communicating with people and attracting and retaining talent, and I'm talking to my plants. And I thought about some of my clients who have said sometimes when they're talking to a stubborn employee, it feels like they're talking to a tree. And so here I was talking to trees. Now, for the people who have not met you before, we need to tell them a little bit of your background because it's absolutely fascinating. Now, you founded the company in 1988, correct?
I did.
Now, what made you do that?
Well, I founded Juniper because I believed largely that there had to be some good places for boomers like me to go to when we reached the right stage. But honestly, I'm trained in health policy, and I began to look at what we as a society provided for our elders, those who did so much to provide for us. And I was pretty disappointed by what I saw. So Juniper was set up hopefully to create some model environments and model programs that others could emulate so that by the time we all make it there, they're wonderful places that are life-affirming and that help nurture the spirit of life.
So you're a bit of a social change agent, huh?
I'd like to think of myself that way, yeah.
That's pretty cool. So now you started with one location. What'd you do, build from scratch or...?
No, we actually originally purchased skilled nursing facilities and leased them to others, small local operators who we thought could bring their talent and expertise to the table. And over time, we made some different decisions. We decided we had some pretty good ideas about how to create good environments and actually built buildings from the ground up, and we did that in a number of instances. And about 5 years ago, we began to operate our own facilities, and that was a major change for us as a company. And one
you discovered you had the capabilities, and it was going to be better if you controlled it.
That's true.
So now how many facilities do you have now?
We have 15 facilities, soon to be 16.
That's pretty cool. And you're located in Florida, Colorado, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey.
That's correct.
Now, before we get too far into the discussion of employees, I'd like to have a contact information about you so that somebody is interested in signing up to be in one of your assisted living communities or checking it out for their mom. Where do they call?
Well,
contact you.
The easiest thing to do would be to look us up on our website, which is www.junipercommunities.com. And once you get on that site, you can find out about all of our different buildings and the people that run them and learn a little bit about our philosophy. So that's the best place to go. And if you want to contact me directly, of course, feel free to call me at 973-661-8300.
And because we're on the Internet, just to remind people that it's in the United States and that her headquarters is in New Jersey.
Correct.
Last time we talked about your acquisition policies, and you have this due diligence, and you have a lot of discipline in your approach because, you're managing in an area that has regulations and, insurance companies and, you know, competing expectations, you're in a tough business. So you're going to really have to know what you're doing.
We are in a tough business, and I'll tell you, the discipline, the most discipline we've learned to apply is in hiring the right people. And that's the key to running a successful business, particularly.
That's kind of where I was going, because, I mean, you know, what you guys do, you've got to really know what you're doing. You've got to know the procedures. You've got to know the laws. You've got to know how to do construction. You've got to know how to manage money. You've got to know the place. You've got to take care of the customer. I mean, you've got high demand. So, you know, if anybody needed good people, you did.
That's definitely true. And, you know, I think in the last time we spoke, I've been very influenced by Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that he talks about is making sure you have the right people in the right seats on the bus.
Yeah.
And I have found that that's certainly true. And having the discipline and the commitment to doing so makes all the difference in the world. So particularly in a company like ours, where while we have a corporate office, mm-hmm. the majority of our staff are on site in 15 different locations right now. So that means that each individual person who runs a facility is really running a mini business of
yeah.
their own and needs
yeah.
to have the skills, many of the same skills that I have to have at the corporate office. And so we need to make sure we hire those people right, because in turn they then hire their leadership team and the staff that runs the buildings and actually takes care of folks. And that's where it's all about, what it's all about.
All right, now let's pause for just a second, because you this is obvious to you, but one of the things I've seen in some other companies that if they don't have a complicated business, and you really do, you may not think you do, but you really do, and daily reminders that you've got to watch the margins, and daily reminders that you've got competition, and daily reminders that something's going to affect the cost, et cetera, et cetera. It does point out, boy, these people better know what they're doing. And I find, and I want the listeners to think about this, you've got people out in the field, and if you have the misimpression that corporate is the people that are going to know everything, and they don't have to sound like Lynn's folks out in the field, I really want you to revisit that assumption. Because if you could replicate some of what Lynn's talking about, that the person out in the field who's running a location needs to be, you know, really on top of the numbers and really making sure that it can happen, and they're running their own business. It's like a franchise, whether or not, you know, it's structured as a formal franchise or not. They have to be very astute. And I think that's where some of the mistakes with people happen, is it's only a field-based person.
I think you're 100% right in that, and we've come to learn that they are the key to our business.
Mm-hmm.
Their skill really determines the long-term success of our company. We provide strategic direction. We provide the systems. We look at data. We provide support. We think of ourselves as servant leaders, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Which is a really important concept. We know we're there to help them succeed at what they do, which in turn helps us succeed.
Yeah, right. Sure. That's an inversion kind of a philosophy that helps you be good, too.
I think it does. I think it really drives how we relate to our field-based operations, and it helps us collaborate. It's not, you know, oh, there's corporate again. They're just telling us what to do. But instead, we're the support mechanism. We're there to help.
Now, describe, like, what it's like. I mean, pick a location. You know, how many people is that head person over? You know, what kind of budget are they over? Something that you can do to quantify that for us.
I'd be happy to. Each budget is a multi-million dollar budget. Mm-hmm. There is never a skilled nursing facility, and oftentimes most assisted living buildings of size, say anything, you know, over 50 or 60 units, are always have a revenue stream of over $1 million.
Yes.
In terms of employees, generally somewhere between 50 and 150, depending on the type of building and its size.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have to be quite skilled. And let me tell you a little story, because it's interesting. Long-term care has traditionally been a female-dominated business.
Mm-hmm.
It's about caregiving. And many of the corporate positions have been filled by men at the finance level and the overall
mm-hmm.
operation, you know, the overseeing piece of things. But the facility-based operations have often been headed by women and often second-career women. So one of the things that we have really pioneered is training and orientation to make sure that people have 2 feet firmly planted. One leg, if you will, is the recognition, the passion for caring for elders, the understanding of what it takes to provide care in a compassionate, dignified way. The other side, equally important, is the finance operations side. You need to know how to read a P&L. You need to know how to use management reports. You have to not be afraid of data and understand that one serves the other and that without both, you can't run a successful business. So we spend a lot of time and have developed a lot of programs specifically for the people that tend to come to our industry to make sure that they have firm footing in both sides of our operations, the caregiving piece, understanding the needs, understanding how a person ages, and also in the finance and general operations side.
So there's that attitude thing again about continuous learning,
yes,
that somebody can come with, you know, good nursing skills, and they can come with caring about the patients. And if they were scared to death of math, okay, we're going to deal with this because the job really requires you to understand the budget and know about costs and know about making money, and it's okay.
That's true. And, you know, I think if you, it's like thinking of a profit and loss statement and a balance sheet differently. You know, one is a moving picture and one is a snapshot. Well, you know, you begin to find ways to talk to people so that they understand it, and most people do. And once they start working with it, I think it works very well. But, you know, going back to some of the things you talked about earlier, attitude, aptitude, and availability, I think really rang true for me. Attitude is what we hire for, and I have found over the years that very smart people to whom I'm always attracted don't always do the best job.
Yep.
If someone has the aptitude, the capability, the skill set, the ability to learn, that's critical. You have to have that, and preferably experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really no way to make up for having actually done.
Not for the role you're talking about.
Not in our business.
No.
But attitude is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude is the one piece which really makes a difference in our hiring at this point in time. And we've gone a long way to try to define attitudinal characteristics.
How do you do it? Do you do what, psychological testing? What do you do?
We do. We do a number of different things. Two that I'd like to talk about. One is that we use a personality profile by a Princeton-based company called Caliper.
Oh, I like that stuff. I've had several of my clients using it.
Well, we found it to be good. We don't use it as it's a screen that we use. It tells us how we would need to manage the person. It gives us a sense of whether they have the attributes that our most successful people have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple test. It takes about an hour. It can be taken online or on paper. And once we've gotten it down to the candidate we think we want to hire, we will have them do a Caliper and take a look at what it tells us. In all cases, it'll tell us, you know, does that person have empathy and accommodation? Those are two things that we always look for, the ability
like
to accommodate
others. Like if there's another A word. Yeah, there's another
That's
A word
right.
there. Can they accommodate to the situation? Now, we're going to have to take a break, and here's the question I want all of us to think about. Here she's sounding like she's being selective for jobs that are tough and people don't even apply for most states. I want you to think about that when we come back. This is Aldana Ambler, the Growth Strategist. We'll be right back.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. thegrowthstrategist.com, achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med, and finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and we're with Lynn Katzman of Juniper Communities. And here's my question. Okay, now you're talking about being selective, and we get the idea of the interviews and the psychological tests, but the reality of your industry is a shrinking nursing pool, and, you know, people are, some of your competitors are bringing in warm bodies just to get the building covered. How do you be selective? I mean, and I know you're right, but how are you doing that?
Well, I think the simplest way is you have to create a corporate culture that attracts the same kind of people, the right people to you. And we've been working on this for the last several years, and I think we're beginning to make progress. So when we talk with people, we tell them that our culture is one of both entrepreneurial spirit, but also it's deeply values-based, that we are here because we want to make a difference in the world in which we live, and we also are going to do so with some energy and some clear direction. So hopefully we take in the best of what businesses have to offer and also provide a way for people to feel good about the work they do day to day.
How do you get the word out? Because some people are spending big bucks on headhunters and try to cherry pick their competition. How do they find out? I mean, let's put it this way. Somebody's a nurse and they're working in a hospital and they're kind of, you know, they really think it could be better, but they haven't quite gotten to the point where they're saying, I'm going to start looking. How do you get her attention?
Well, there are a couple of ways. Simply, the best way to do it is to have happy employees who tell others.
Okay.
That's the simplest and the best way. It's word of mouth. It's mm-hmm. just like if you're trying to attract people to your business, it's the cheapest, best way to advertise or recruit.
And but you're doing a branding campaign or what?
We are doing a branding campaign, and the branding campaign is geared initially more towards our staff, mm-hmm. letting them know who we are, what our values are, what kind of culture we're trying to create, mm-hmm. getting buy-in, but also helping them talk about it, find the words to talk about it with others. And that, for us, is critical. So
are they incentivized on bringing in leads?
Excuse me?
Are they incentivized on bringing in leads, some potential employee?
Yes, they are to a certain degree, although that's not the primary motivation.
Okay.
Basically, people like to work with other people like them.
Yeah.
And so to the degree we can help them talk about what works,
mm-hmm.
They're able to talk about others. The other thing that we do is we do some pretty creative advertising, and we use a variety of different ways to reach out to people. You know, it's interesting, but the local newspapers are not necessarily best places to advertise for positions anymore. With the growth of the web and the internet, people are using those sources. So even your more traditional newspaper outlets also have a website where they're also listing people. So we're using that.
Can you put your stuff out on monster.com and things like that?
We do that. We're using a variety of different places. We've used Craigslist at times. But what we try to do is get across the fact that we are values-based,
mm-hmm.
that we're values-based and we're entrepreneurial, that we're not for everyone, and that we are selective. It's almost like having a premium product.
Yes, well, it is. Not just like it, it is.
That's true. But
you are saying you're premium, and it's an honor to be there. I imagine you have multiple interviews.
We do have multiple interviews, and we have an interesting interview process. What we'll do is we'll seek out qualified candidates. We'll review all the resumes that we get. We'll do initial interviews on the phone. And then we'll actually do team-based interviews that use behavioral-based interview techniques. And those are questions like, tell us a time when you had an issue with a staff member. Tell us the most difficult interaction you've ever had with another staff member that you supervised and what you did about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get people to start telling stories. And you begin to learn not only from the words that they choose to use, but also the situations that they depict, their skill level, and their approach,
and how
and the way they, how much they care and how they interact with others.
And if they hold a grudge. You can also hear, you know, somebody's still mad from 2 years from before.
That's true. You learn an awful lot about people if you get them to talk about actual situations, and that's really the key to our interview process.
Gotcha.
What we also do is essentially a 360-degree interview. When you come for a job, for example, in our office here in New Jersey, you meet everyone. You'll meet everyone from our office manager to our interior designer to the vice president of operations to myself.
Okay.
And each one of us is part of the team that tells you about who we are and also gets to know you so we know who you are.
Now, how do you compete on pay? I mean, I don't want to hear what you pay somebody, but, you know, do you try to buy these people by high price, you know, salaries, or is that not part of the formula?
Well, like any company, we have budgets, and, you know, we have to work within our means. When we find the right person who we believe can hire other right people and who will manage well, particularly at our facility locations, we are more than willing to pay them in a range that is at the higher end.
The reason I ask is because you need to be careful. It's a very, you know, costly business, and you know, you have to keep the cost down and all that stuff. So you couldn't be trying to buy your way into excellence.
No, we don't buy our way into excellence. And, you know, the real way we compete is we do pay fair salaries. We try to provide reasonable benefits. But we try to provide that extra piece, which is at the top of Maslow's hierarchy, the ability to feel fulfilled in your professional life. And that's part of what we sell.
Yep, it is. I mean, and you can't have a salary that would insult somebody, but the other perks are really what's mattering to most people. You know, are they being, do they get listened to? You know, is their opinion and how they're running the place, does it matter? Is this an ethical place that they can be proud of? You know, all that kind of stuff just really matters. How do you do performance appraisals and that kind of process?
Well, just like our interview process, there's 360 performance appraisals. They're done once a year, typically on your anniversary. They're interesting because when you join us or at the end of each one-year period, we not only assess how you've done, but we set goals for the following year, which in turn becomes the basis for the discussion going forward. If I'm doing a review on someone, I will make sure that I talk with someone who works for that individual, someone who is a peer, and if there's someone else who they report to, also to that individual to give me a sense of how that person's interactions are. I'll look at the specific goals and outcomes that we expected from them and review them against that. The most important piece of the evaluation, though, is the communication. It's being able to talk with someone about what they've done, why it's worked or hasn't worked, what you expect from them, and how they want to grow.
Okay.
What their aspirations are as well.
Okay. Now, so I want some juicy stuff. The listeners can hear you've got this system now of really, you know, quite complex interviewing and clarified job descriptions, and you've got a process for a performance evaluation. You have meetings where you're looking for consensus but not, you know, unanimous decisions, and you got a number of things that are right. Now, even you, it can't always work.
Oh, it often doesn't work.
Okay. Tell us some stories about where it didn't work and what'd you do.
Well, I think one of the
behavioral interview question.
Right, right. I think one of the most difficult experiences for me, and this points to making sure that you go through the whole process and that you're disciplined in the process, is the time I hired someone essentially to oversee all of our company's operations. And this person had a reputation as a very strong operator and who was no-nonsense, quite entrepreneurial, exceptionally smart. And make a long story short, there was not a cultural fit.
Yeah. I was going to say, were they too cold for you?
Well, I don't know about cold. I think there was just a difference in style and personal aspiration, you know, what that person wanted out of the professional world. And,
The words that you used, I just wondered if, you know, maybe they weren't as caring about the people as you would have been or...
Well, I think they cared differently than I needed them to care.
Oh, you're so tactful.
well, you know, I'll tell you, collaboration is a corporate value at Juniper.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So what that means is that you need to be honest with people. You need to communicate with them. You need to give and take. Mm-hmm. And that was not happening. And it became this person functioned more using politics information as a way to control, and that didn't
work. Oh, that wouldn't fit you. I can hear that. I can hear that, because if you had little factions developing, boy, that would be destructive really quickly.
For our culture, it would. And so, one of the things that I learned, two things I learned from that. One is I didn't check that person's references as closely as I should have.
Mm-hmm. But that's an issue too, because so many people feel they can't say anything.
Well, I think it is, but, our way of checking references is to ask people for three, a personal reference, someone who worked for you, and someone for whom you worked.
Yes.
And then we ask those people if they can give us some other names, and we learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other bigger lesson from that, and it's nothing that ever works perfectly, is that we believe in full disclosure. You know, one of the other reasons we have people meet with a team, and that team does not always include me, for example, if we're hiring in this office, is we want you to know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to feel comfortable to ask questions of anyone at any level so that you know what you're getting. And we're going to turn around and say, so do you really understand who we are as a company?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what our financial goals are? And do you understand our culture?
And I like the questions that would be, all right, now given what you've heard about our culture, give us an example of a situation that you handled in your previous job and tell us how it would be different here. You know, so that you can hear if they really listen and they don't just say, I get your culture.
That's
We're
going
to be right back. We're going to finish up with Lynn Katzman talking about attracting and retaining top talent.
When business is in your blood and you need answers, get connected. Call 1-866-233-7861.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The challenge of change comes as ramped up due to the advent of information age and the interconnectedness of global community. In a high-tech world, the ability to embrace change, adapt, and respond accordingly is key to personal and professional success. Talking Change with Ann Powers, airing every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, explores the hows, whys, and what to do's when faced with change. Embrace the new reality. Adopt transition into your personal power portfolio and tune into Talking Change with Ann Powers every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Right here on the Bottom Line Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back. This is Aldana Ambler on The Growth Strategist, and today we're interviewing Lynn Katzman of Juniper Communities, and our topic is attracting and retaining top talent. And one of the A's I want to introduce, if you listen to the beginning of the show, you know I'm talking about you hire for attitude, you hire for aptitude, availability, and I'm not just talking about showing up, but they're mentally available. I'm going to add another A. I think it's important for a lot of the productive cultures out there that somebody is able to apologize. And if, you know, if the person has an attitude, if they have to be right and they can't compromise or they can't admit when they screwed up or they hurt somebody, it's very destructive. And, I just was thinking when Lynn, you were talking about that person that you hired that they have, you know, all these credentials, et cetera, et cetera. I bet they were always right.
Well,
in their mind.
Most certainly that's the case. And, you know, I think one of the biggest lessons I personally have learned as a leader is that you've got to be able to listen and you've got to be able to take constructive criticism. I welcome it. And, you know, as the CEO and founder of a company, most people don't feel comfortable giving it to me. But it's those who are able to find the words, even if they're not the perfect words, that I learn from. And so I really do appreciate that quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think it's coincidental that either of us are not using, that they're comfortable exercising authority. You know? Okay, if somebody has to exercise authority, that means a whole bunch of other things didn't work. Because, you know, sometimes the solution to a problem, you know, if it's self-evident, if you've gone through discussions and if you surface the data, everybody gets what we probably should be doing. And the person doesn't have to wave around their title and say, well, because I said so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a capacity to make a decision is different than exercising authority.
Definitely.
Have you had one where the caliper test says the person isn't a good fit and the interview or something about the resume says they, and you went and hired them anyway?
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, you have done that. You've seen it on your own process, huh?
Well, you know, a process, it gives you information. Mm-hmm. What we've learned from all of this is that there's nothing that tells us the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it increases the chances, but
it helps us manage better. It tells us what expectations to have and how to deal with the individual. To be honest, that's what I think the true value of those tests are at this point in time. Hopefully when you've done enough of them, and I don't think we have yet, we've probably done 25 or 30 of them, you begin to get a profile of the people that work. So, but let me tell you about that. We had one individual, when we first started using them, we gave them to our most successful staff. And because we wanted to see, well, what were their characteristics?
Sure, what do they have?
What made them successful? And interestingly enough, one of our most successful individuals, they told us we shouldn't hire. In this case, we had already hired this individual, and since then, we've actually promoted her to our most difficult community, and she's taken great leadership. And what does she have? She's hungry.
Yeah.
She has that availability. In the moment and the aptitude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that A, I think, is extremely important.
Yeah.
One can have the attitude. One can have the aptitude. Yeah. But if one doesn't want to do it, then there's nothing you can do.
Sometimes it's like, you know, being present. You know
yes.
I mean?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, we find that that those tests don't necessarily measure that.
You know,
they measure other skills.
So we don't sound like we're endorsing one group. I have also had success with the predictive index, and I want to make sure some, and there's some other ones. There's something called the Rembrandt that's pretty good, and then the Berkman. I've seen some of my clients use. So
we've used the Bergman as well.
Am I saying right, Berkman or Bergman?
Bergman is the one that I've used.
Cool.
And we've used several of them, and in all cases, you know, we use them to help us give direction.
Yeah.
It helps me as a manager. It helps other managers figure out how to manage. So I think that's been really helpful.
So like you say, it's one data point. It's not the end-all be-all.
It's one data point, and it's a data point that most people don't think of in a disciplined, systematic fashion.
All right. Now, what do you do if you have an employee who's been working with you for a while, and they've done real well, and then they have that year, you know, when I don't know what happens to them. It's like you wonder if they have some kind of medicine that they're taking that's made a screw come loose. What do you do?
Well,
and we've all been there.
Yeah, we have all been there, and it's really difficult. Typically what we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll talk with them. We'll find out what's happening with them and if there's anything that they can clarify as a reason for the problem. Then, you know, as a company, we will put together a performance improvement plan. We'll lay out what we think needs to happen. You know, what would success look like? What do they have to do to help get there? And, you know,
it could be a midlife crisis. You know, it might not necessarily be how they feel about their work or, you know, how they care about the, you know, the company. Sometimes somebody's got a problem at home. Sometimes their health isn't right. They hit their 50th or 60th birthday and they get, you know, funky about it.
That's right. Well, you know, there's no one answer to that, Aldana, in my experience. I think talking to people, sharing with them that, you know, there's a gap between the company's expectations and how they're performing is helpful. But, you know, we've handled it in a number of ways. In some cases, we've convinced people to take leaves of absence.
I was just going to say, a couple of my clients do sabbaticals. They are doing that. That, you know, they're saying, we think you're wonderful and we want to protect a place for you, but you need to, you know, when you come back, you need to be the person that we hired, not this, you know, that you're kind of occupied by somebody else right now.
Right.
You know, there's another person occupying your body that's right now. That's really not who we hired.
Right, and I think we do that. I think, you know, if you look at our business where we have a facility manager, which we do call an executive director or an administrator, those people can't really go on a sabbatical unless there's a second in command, and that's something that we do try to do. We try to have depth at each of our locations.
That's hard, though.
It's very hard, and it's, you know, I would say 50% of the time we're able to do it.
It'd have to be a very important person that gets a sabbatical for you to turn yourself inside out, cover for them, and let them come back.
Well, that's true, and, you know, particularly with people with long tenure, we will do everything we can to have that happen. But the reality is that a business such as ours, which is, you know, roughly a $40 million business, we don't have that luxury.
You know,
we
get annoyed at the government when they start wanting to make the mandates that we do these kind of things for somebody to have. I understand the idea of taking care of people, but you know what? If you're stretched really thin staffing-wise, you know, you can't necessarily afford to cover somebody, you know, for each of the different kinds of leave they might want to have.
Right, and, you know, in our case, it's not only a financial issue. It's also one of quality of care and service.
That's exactly what I mean. You
know,
if you don't have that kind of depth, you know, a small size, you can't.
Yeah, it's very difficult. So I don't think there's one answer, but we try to work with people. We try to coach them. If it's a purely performance issue, if it's a personal issue, we try to get them to acknowledge it and to find resources or to move on.
Now, have you ever gone through a funk? Because a lot of CEOs that are listening, they hear all this and then they realize, they don't want to admit it, but one of the performance issues they've had over the years has been them.
Of course.
Have you ever been in a funk?
Of course I've been in a funk. And I'll tell you, for me, starting a business was very tough. For those people who are just starting, I think until you realize that you are the ultimate decision maker, you know, it's interesting. At Juniper, we don't use titles except to sign legal documents. So we really have taken this collaborative workplace environment we've taken it long way down that road, and so people's name tags or their business cards, none of them give titles. And we do that on purpose to give the person in the situation the authority and as well as the responsibility to get something done.
But the reality is when you went into this, I mean, think about this. And, you know, how many years ago were you as a female, you know, buying buildings and doing this kind of leverage and dealing with construction? And I mean, that's a pretty gutsy thing to do.
Yeah, it was. I have to tell you, I probably didn't. If I thought about it, I probably wouldn't have done it. And I think that's true. I think most entrepreneurs will tell you that. I think the hardest thing to learn is that the buck does stop with you.
Yes.
and that they're going to be tough times. And for me, the thing I realize is that, you know, it's like a rainstorm. It's not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. It's going to, you know, it's going to clear, mm-hmm. and the sky's going to be blue again, and you just have to wait for that time. So you've got to have the tenacity,
mm-hmm.
and the vision to hold through those tough times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing is vacations. You got to take vacations. You got to take time off. You've got to have separation.
That's one of the things that I've done over the years is it's been important to have like 4 breaks a year. You know, clustering it all around the end of the year or only in the summer, that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. If anybody has, you know, complicated life where, you know, multiple business or multiple companies or, you know, multiple clients and things like that, it's extremely important to take breaks. Well, I'm going to invite people again to, you know, call in to Lynn if you want to talk with her about her business. Go to junipercommunities.com. Is that so?
That's correct.
Okay. And we are going to be wrapping up the program here. I want to make sure that we think back over some of the things that Lynn's been saying. There's a number of A's that are involved with hiring and retaining good people. You certainly have to attract them, because if you're trying to turn somebody who has a lousy attitude, won't show up, doesn't want to learn, is going to stay stuck in what they knew how to do before, is always telling you about how wonderful the previous place was, you know, that you might be able to turn somebody like that around, but the cost effectiveness, the return on investment on that's not real smart. So it does make a difference to make a little more money and time on selecting people who fit your culture. And then it's a whole lot easier to make sure that you don't blow what you brought in. You just don't want to screw up what you have, because the gems of the people that you attracted are going to make everything work out. So, you know, the old adage of hire slow, fire fast does seem to fit in what Lynn's talking about. If somebody doesn't fit, you know, it is cancer, you need to do the surgery to not have it mess up something that's really good.
Boy,
on that positive note, protect what you have. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler, and I thank you for tuning in.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning in to The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.